This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
Favorite. It's Judd's Hockey Show.
Oh, just because the Wild hasn't played a game now in how long, Declan Goff? About a month or so?
It's been a while. It's, you know, par for the course. Puns are intended there.
Par for the course. Time for a golf spot. Anyway, just because the Wild has not played a game in several weeks doesn't mean that Judd's Hockey Show doesn't go deep into the season. Mm-hmm. In fact, we're in the conference finals now. The Vegas Golden Knights are about to sweep the Dallas Stars. Florida Panthers swept the Carolina Hurricanes. And we're going to talk about the Dallas Stars in a second. But I want to start with a conversation, Declan, that I was having. I actually threw this out on Twitter a couple of days ago, and here's why. So Marco Rossi.
Rossi.
That's you.
I got the tongue.
You and Rami can roll the tongue. Rossi. You can't roll the tongue. That's very good. Playing for Austria in the World Hockey Championships, okay, he scored a highlight reel goal where he basically went through the entire Hungary team to score. It was gorgeous. And someone tweeted it out, or I should say a lot of people did, and one of my responses on the tweet was, you need to find out next year what this guy can do with the Wild. Some people agree. I was also got a few tweets back saying That Hungary team's like an ECHL team. This doesn't mean anything. You can't. If he's ready, he's ready. If he's not, he's not. Okay. And we've touched on this, but I don't think that we have led a show with this topic yet. Okay. Marco Rossi was the ninth pick in his draft, 2020. Mm-hmm. He's going to be 22 years of age on September 23rd. So basically right before the season starts, he's going to turn 22. Which in hockey terms is not young. I mean, you've got at times 19-year-old kids playing 20-year-olds. Mm-hmm. And again, he's a top 10 pick. So he's not a third-round pick. Oh, he's being rushed, Zolgad. What are you doing? What are you doing to him? He is the ninth overall pick. He plays a position at which the Wild desperately needs help. He just got done playing, as I said, in the World Championships for Austria, where he factored in 6 of their 10 goals. 1 goal, 5 assists in 7 games. He's coming off a season with the Iowa Wild, second year there in the American Hockey League, in which he had 16 goals, 51 points in 53 games, 6 on the power play, and he was a +5. He, of course, started the season here. The expectation was, oh my gosh, he might center a great line here. And then the Wild said, we don't think that you play a tough enough style. We need to see you bounce back more, blah, blah, blah. He got sent down, returned briefly, but that was it. Could you provide any pushback to me on the fact that at the age of 22, I believe that it is now time to find out at the very least in a full season what he has, because I don't think having him for a third year play in the American Hockey League, and we're not talking about a slappy, we're talking about a ninth overall pick. I don't see what good that does. I think the Wild 100% needs to find out what they have, and if they make a judgment again after 18 games, I throw up my hands and say, what are you doing?
So let's answer this question also by looking at the 2020 NHL draft class too that Rossi was a part of. Because I think this is also important context of how fast are these players developing? Are anyone else in their class, you know, getting time to figure out if there can be NHL players? So I wanted to look at the 2020 NHL draft to kind of figure out, well, is this class just bad? Are other players not playing, you know? So I took a look at it, Judd. So number one overall pick, Alex Lafreniere, who has been a bust, by the way. Like, honestly,
he's not been good.
Legitimately, Judd, I don't think we talk enough about that. He came in with a lot of hype. Remember, you and I talked about, I mean, he was supposed to be really damn good with the Rangers. He has been a bust, an absolute bust. Quentin Byfield of the Kings looks like he could be a pretty solid piece for LA to build around. He was the second overall pick. He's played in 99 games. By the way, Lafreniere has played in 216 games. So
yep.
I'm just going to go down the games played list until we get to Rossi. With the Senators, is it Stutzel? Tim Stutzel?
Tim Stutzel.
Stutzel?
Germany.
Having a great start. He might be the best guy in this class, actually. Almost scored, I believe, 40 goals last year for the Sens. He looks like he's going to be a good building block for them. He's played in 210 games. Lucas Raymond, another really solid piece for the Detroit Red Wings. He's played in 156 games. Ottawa also was on the clock. Jake Sanderson, a defenseman. He's put up solid numbers, but I couldn't tell you who the hell he is, really, because I don't watch Senators hockey enough. But still, to the point, he has played in 77 games in this class. Jamie Draisaitl, who actually we have seen a little bit with the Ducks, he has played in 113 games. He's logged a lot of games for a bad Ducks team, but regardless, he's playing a lot. Alexander Holtz with the Devils was the seventh pick. He's only logged 28 games. Jack Quinn with the Sabres, who went right before Rossi, has also played in 77 games and had a pretty nice full season last year with Buffalo. And then we get to Marco Rossi. 21 games, no goals, one assist, 1 point. Now, there are players underneath Rossi who have also logged a lot of games. Anton Lundell with the Florida Panthers right now, who are now in the Stanley Cup, 138 games. He has 77 points. Seth Jarvis. Seth Jarvis, yep. Who they just saw also in the Eastern Conference Finals, 150 games. So I guess my point is this is a pretty good draft class where a lot of players are already now starting to play significant amount of games with the teams that drafted them. But you look at Marco Rossi, who has played in 21 games, the only one in that class among the first 15 picks, Judd, who has logged less games than Marco Rossi is, I believe it's Yaroslav Askarov from the Predators, who has played in one game. I'm not going to pretend how to pronounce that game. He's a goaltender, too, by the way.
You probably came very close. You probably came incredibly close.
He's a goaltender, too, so he's fine. Yep. Everyone else was a forward or a defenseman. Everyone has logged at least 28, if not hundreds of games here. It's time to figure out what you have in the kid. It's my long-winded way of saying it's time to figure out what you have in Marco Rossi. The 2020 draft class has proved to be a draft class where other players have already stepped into their organizations and have been very good contributors for them. So you got to figure it out here with Bill and give him Bill and Dean to give him the proper opportunity to play significant games, just to figure out.
Absolutely. And there's only so many times like, okay, he has been sent down and I totally get it last year. But there's only so many times that you could say, go to Iowa and play well and prove yourself. And I know they're trying to hone his game, but he's the ninth overall pick. And at some point in time, I think you just got to play the guy and find out what can he do. And by the way, it's not like you've got a bunch of centers that are, you know, it's like, oh, the depth chart. Look at the depth chart. Erickson Ek. Okay. Legit. And he was a first-round pick who took some time, but he was a later first-round pick, right?
Yep.
He was not a top-10 pick.
Yep.
And so my whole thing is, I know that Dean, and this is where the old-school hockey people come in, well, Dean's got to have guys who play, you know, Dean style. I mean, Freddie Goudreau is defensively responsible, and he is, and that's awesome. That's fantastic. But if you have a top-10 pick, it's time to find out. And if he's a bust, he's a bust. Like, if he's a bust, if he's never going to play – they want more grit. They want him to play a tougher game. They want him to get his nose dirty, which I appreciate. That's fine. But if he's never going to do that and you don't want him, then what's the point?
Right.
So like, I think we are at a point now, this whole thing of, well, just send him down again. If he doesn't fit in, first of all, you're not good enough. You're not good enough. You haven't been past the first round of the playoffs since 2015. Okay. So you ain't exactly the 82 Islanders. Well, I couldn't get the guy in there because we're winning Stanley Cups. You need centers desperately. And the only way that this kid is going to get as tough as you want is if he gets punched in the face on a Tuesday night at the X and responds.
Yes.
You know, I'm sorry, but at some point, some 38-year-old has been playing in the American Hockey League for Milwaukee who pushes Rossi is not going to get the desired response of, well, did you see how he came back against that old man?
Yeah.
You know, this is a young man's league. This is a speed league. And as Bill Guerin once told me, you are so 80s. And he's right. I loved that style.
Yeah.
That was my, but the style's different now. It's great. And Marco Rossi is either going to come here and help you or he's a bust.
Yep.
But, you know, if you keep putting him on the fourth line and demoting him and playing mind games with him, Dean, it doesn't work. This is part of what drives me crazy about Dean. That old school crap, it works to a certain point. But after that, you've got to give kids a chance. And you did a great job of going through a list of guys that are getting a chance. Mm-hmm. And if Rossi don't fit there, then he's going to be gone. But find out. It's like they're trying to tread water. Well, he's not ready yet. No, he's not ready yet. At some point in time, good old Judd's going to come along and say, you know what? He's never going to be then.
Yeah. Yeah, they have to give him the shot to be ready. Everyone in that draft class has essentially played significant. Everyone in the first round of the top 15 picks have all played significant games and minutes. And it's time to see. And look, you're stuck in salary cap hell. You can't make a lot of additions this year in free agency.
Yes.
So really, the time is now. And by the way, I don't think you are insinuating that Marco Rossi is a superstar. And because he hasn't played, we haven't seen the superstar level. He very well might be a bust, right?
Yes.
Like that is,
yes.
That's part of this conversation. But we need to see if he is indeed a bust. We need to see if he's a superstar. Yes. We need to see if he's a bust. Which one is it?
He plays a position at which the Wild desperately needs skilled players.
Correct.
Ryan Hartman, if you are literally going to go into next September or October, we got to play Ryan Hartman again. We gotta sell out for regular season success. Then what are we doing here?
Right.
This is the time. Look, you're in cap hell. This is the time to find out. And look, Declan, if I tell you right now, you know what? They're going to run her back. Goudreau's playing and Hartman's playing, and they're going to grit and grime their way. They're going to finish third place in the Central, and then they're going to lose in the first round again. Or they're going to play their kids. They're going to find out, and they might miss the playoffs. But they can decide on kids then. Right now. I'll take that.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah, no, and that's what I want to see at this point. Unless Bill gets absolutely really wild here this summer and he guts players that we aren't even seeing coming, it's going to be it's going to be pretty much the same roster that's going to be coming back to the Wild next season.
And that's what I want the young kids to play. And I don't want them on the fourth line. I don't want them playing specific. I don't care how you do. And Florida now is an example of this. I don't care how you do in the regular season. You know, maybe you make the playoffs. Maybe you don't. But it just absolutely drives me crazy. You know what? I am all worked up, and I'm trying to think of myself, how can I get sports therapy? How can I get to a place where Sports Dad is calm, cool, and collected? And I'm going to tell you right now, Power Lodge and Miller Marine are friends. It's a marriage of what we call, I mean, look at that, throttle therapy between fun on the land and fun on the water. You talk about taking the stress off. Pick your power and head to the lodge, Power Lodge. Their locations are in Brainerd, Onamia, Ramsey, and Miller Marine in St. Cloud. Now through Memorial Day, which, of course, is coming up, or I should say Memorial Saturday.
Which I'll be on the boat.
This Saturday, okay. You can find the boat or pontoon that's just right for you and your next Remember When family moment. It's going to be great fun. Their locations are open through Saturday, closed Sunday, and Memorial Day as well. So come in by Saturday to pick up your pontoon, hook it up, and drive it home for an on-the-water before the holiday weekend is over. Again, Miller Marine and Power Lodge. Head to powerlodge.com or millermarine.com. Then just get used to saving big because it all starts at the lodge, the Power Lodge. I feel so much better.
Yeah, I'm excited for some little throughout. And look, the Wild are enjoying themselves on boats, right,
for
Judd? I mean, come on. You're telling me that Marcus Foligno and company aren't enjoying themselves in a nice Miller Marine power boat right now from the Power Lodge?
Of course they are.
Come on.
Of course they are. The Bennington is the place to start. You know what? There's a guy right now who still has his skates on, but I got a feeling he's going to be, I think he might be on his Bennington very soon, too.
You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
Ryan Suter of the Dallas Stars. Some might call him an old friend. I call him an old pain in the ass. Can you play the clip of him after game two against the Golden Knights?
Just the sequence at the end there, just, you know, what happened there on the turnover and then after the turnover as well. On your play at the end of regulation. Vegas' second goal.
Did you watch it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Then you can, you know what happened.
Is there something, what would you have wanted to do differently in that situation?
Well, I just, that's for us to talk about. Obviously it wasn't the right play. And it ended up costing us.
Thank you so much, Bill Guerin, for buying out that complete bozo. So if you didn't see it, Dallas lost game one of the Western Conference Finals to the Golden Knights in OT. This series has actually been, until game four, very close, okay? Or game three, very close. In game two, the Stars hold a late 2-1 lead. Ryan Suter, behind his own net, literally handles the puck like it is a September preseason game. Not a care in the world. Turns it over. It, of course, gets on to the stick of Jack Eichel, who is now with the Golden Knights, who makes a marvelous pass. And Jonathan Marchessault scores the goal to make it 2-2. Dallas then falls in OT. And Ryan Suter, until then, has been... there's a lot of people in Dallas who, during the regular season, wanted him gone. He's actually in the playoffs until then. I think he'd been okay. But that stunt right there, after he makes a play that is literally... I mean, it wasn't like a hurry, panic, dumb play. It was an I-don't-care play. How you get to that point late in the third period of a conference final, I have no idea. But then, when asked about it, and I got a story off this, when asked about it by the media, an incredibly fair question. It is an incredibly fair question to say, did you see it? And then to ask, what would you have liked to do? After he was lazy as hell, and for you to say, we'll talk about that internally. Now, if Ryan Suter had been yelled at on the bench and been like, hey, what did DeBoer say, right? Then it's like, yeah, we're going to talk about that. We're going to try and keep that internal. But to not take any responsibility of like, yeah, you know, that was a terrible play. To not give a real quote. I guarantee you that there were guys in that room and that there were guys who played with him who said, that's the Ryan I know.
Yeah.
The lack of accountability and responsibility for that play. And that gets me to the story 2015, if I'm not mistaken. No, it was 16. The year that the Wild played Dallas in the first round for the first time. I think it was 16, okay?
Yep, that was 16.
And that team was going to miss the playoffs. Mike Yeo got fired, I think, on Valentine's Day. John Torchetti comes in, and Torch comes in and actually does a great job. They make the playoffs. They play Dallas. I think it was game three or four here. Ryan Suter, again, made a stupid play. And because the coaching staff, and I think Dallas might have the same problem, because the coaching staff is so afraid to rip him because he's such a pain in the ass. Torch said something about, we didn't make a play in our own zone. And he was talking about Suter, but he didn't name him.
Yeah.
Ryan Suter post game, I guess, privately goes crazy.
Yep.
How could you single that out? How could you do, to the point of, I have heard stories that on his way out the door, Torch basically screamed at Suits, you are unbelieving coachable.
Yeah.
This is why you bought out that absolute, I don't even want to begin to use adjectives, but my God, what a piece of work that guy is.
Yeah, I've heard similar things too. I've heard, did he go back to Detroit as an assistant or was Chicago?
Yes. No, it's Detroit, I think.
Detroit, right. And I've heard similar things that he said, he has been on the record of that. Hey, I actually loved everyone there in Minnesota. I loved my time. Of course, I wanted, you know, to get the full-time job and I wish everyone the best except for number 20. That guy, I mean.
Oh, you heard that?
I've heard very similar things about that. He loved everyone. He had no problems. with the Wild, and he understood why they let him go to a degree, and he was bummed out that he didn't get the job, but he said very similar after, except for 20. I don't really care about number 20. So I'm not shocked to see these comments like he does with the Stars, and same thing. His reputation is becoming weirder and weirder. You know, quietly, he is a very, I believe, I don't know if this was Wyshynski or if this was on The Athletic, but quietly, he is known as one of the dirtiest players in the game. Dirty, and dirty not like
because the Kaprizov hits.
Yes.
Kaprizov cross checks.
He is known, he does it quietly. He does it not in ways that are, you know, Bertuzzi-esque noticeable.
Oh, right.
But he does these things that are quietly dangerous and very, honestly, head-scratching. And, yeah, I'm glad he's gone, too. I mean, look, these buyouts stink, and it makes, honestly, creating content because you can't really figure out who the hell they're going to do in sign or what they're going to do in free agency. But it's worth it that both these guys are not on the roster anymore, especially him.
Yeah, in my opinion, Parisi was definitely had become what I would consider, Declan, to be a locker room lawyer of sorts.
Yes.
So I'm not absolving
him. And I've heard similar
him.
Things with the Islanders organization too, by the way.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, do share.
I've heard similar I've heard
I know nothing about
great this. Guy to be around if you I just heard this yesterday. Great guy to be around if you also have the same beliefs and thought process as him. Can I say that?
Okay. Interesting.
If you have different type of ways you want to go about things that aren't in his line of thinking, he doesn't respect you or like you a whole lot.
I buy that.
But if you're in it, which, like, look, that's honestly a lot of people. If you're in his camp and you kind of, you know, sing the same tunes, you're buddies. He's a good guy to be around. But if you're not, it can be bad. It can not be a good time. Mm-hmm.
So I think Billy wanted Zach out of the room, but I also think that he could easily justify that because Zach's play was declining. Now, he did come back this past season with a nice year, but his play was definitely declining. He had been hurt a ton, right? So, like, there was a case to be made that that buyout just made sense based on production, and I get that one. Suter took everyone by surprise because the production hadn't, at that point in time, dropped off as much, but this is how big a pain in the ass this guy was. And, again, to take no responsibility, to, like, sort of snap back, well, you saw it, and then to be asked, okay, then tell us what you would do differently, which is an easy one. I should have done this. I should have done that. We'll talk about that internally. Talk about a lack of accountability. I am so glad that guy is gone. And you know what? I don't often say this. He's a guy I'm glad to see fail. I'm glad he's not going to make the finals. He doesn't deserve it. He doesn't deserve a he's a guy that his self-worth is so high when his real worth is, you know, you're still good, but you ain't great. So, all right, before we go, I do want to give a shout out to something that is great, and that is the product that our friends from Livia Weight Control Centers provide. They provide you with the gift of weight loss. Look at the guy on the left. Look at the guy on the right. You say, how did that happen? I'm going to tell you right now. It is spelled LIVEA, Weight Control Centers. And right now, if you join, two things. First of all, by the 4th of July, you're going to be down about 15 pounds. So imagine that by the 4th of July and you know, the heart of summer, you're feeling great. You're looking great. All of your clothes, all those clothes that right now might not fit, they're going to start to fit. And here's the best part about it. If you contact them today, and we do have an offer coming up for you tomorrow. So you are going to want to stay tuned to Purple Daily, to Judd's Hockey Show, to Minnesota Sports with Mackie and Judd. But if you contact them today, you're going to receive 3 months for free. That's right, 3 months for free. Call them, 855-GO-LIVIA. Contact them online, LIVEA, livia.com. That, my friends, is your ticket to a healthy and happy summer, not to mention sustained weight loss, livia.com.
Hit that subscribe button, daily Minnesota sports entertainment. Some reckless and honestly, a little bit of dissension in our Shohei Ohtani conversation on trade rumors between the three members of this show. It was fun.
I feel like I officiated it more.
You did. You officiated well.
You and Phil were at each other's, but Phil was trying to, like, say he was all in. And then I'm really all in. And just go watch it and decide. But it did get contentious.
Yeah, yeah. We're here for all Twins fans, whether you want to complain or not. It doesn't matter. We're not going to not let you do that. All right, so hit that subscribe button and pass, shoot, score.